This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And I think when people talk about their preparations for the Christmas celebration, I think the first thing people think about and talk about is shopping. And the second thing is food.
Food,
okay.
Well, you know, food is an important part of our celebrations because it engages more of our senses in the celebration, you know, in building memories. We've got the taste and the smell and the feel of it. And it's one of the ways that we can tie our children's hearts toward home in building those memories.
Well, I always think about the institution of different feasts and celebrations in Scripture. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they're called the feasts. I mean, the feast of the Passover, the feast of booths, the feast of trumpets, you know. And so many of the times, they're involving certain holiday food, if you will. And it has meaning and it has purpose. And, of course, the purpose of the holidays is to remember and to think about and to teach and to call back to mind the things that God's done.
And so we love Christmas baking.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of our listeners, Hal, have large families like we do. And when you have a lot of littles and a big family, Christmas baking is challenging. You know, one dozen cookies, well, we tasted them. Now they're gone.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know, speaking as the head of a large family, I know from our experience and from other people's experience that large families tend to do one of two things. They are either incredibly organized or incredibly chaotic, and it kind of depends which day of the week, I think.
Or what topic or what area.
Or what topic, yeah. And so we're going to talk about how to get a little more organization in your kitchen expedition of the season?
Well, you know, if just thinking it through can make Christmas baking a lot easier. You know, we have a whole pile of things we make at Christmas. You know, there's...
What about a dozen cookies and cakes and things that we do that are just... That's part of the season. You just have to do that.
That we always make.
Right.
And, you know, I think there'd be a riot if we tried to leave one out.
Right.
You know, and so... But thinking about it and planning it out can make it a lot easier. For example, one of the first things I do is I make a spreadsheet, and just in Excel or something or on Google Docs, and I list the recipe and how many batches I'm going to make, like if I'm going to make a double batch or triple batch.
Yeah.
And then how much flour, how much sugar, how many eggs, how much butter. Is there any special seasoning or special liquid flavoring or other special ingredients that I might not have at home?
Right.
And so when I plan that out, then I can total it up at the bottom and know for sure how much flour I'm going to need, how much sugar I'm going to need, make sure I've got enough butter and eggs in the house. And that way we're not running to the store all the time, which greatly increases the amount of time we spend cooking.
Well, it increases, yeah, and it increases the cost too.
Well, it increases the cost because, like, we don't have an Aldi in our town. The nearest one is about 45 minutes away. Well, we can go when we're doing something else, but it... You know, if I need something right away, I'm going to have to go to the expensive grocery store nearby.
So
I plan ahead, and that way I know how much I need to buy, and I can go ahead and buy it and be done with it.
And that also pays, you know, if you do any outlet shopping. Because I know we have several places we go to their grocery outlets, and some of them are just while we're traveling. We only go there maybe twice or three times a year. But if we're there in July and we see that, man, they got a deal on chocolate chips, we'll go ahead and stack in for Christmas.
Right.
Which is something you can plan on for next year if you didn't do it this year.
Right. But, and so that can really help you out. A lot of these things that you buy are shelf-stable. And you can buy them months in advance. Maraschino cherries, you know, sweetened condensed milk. You know, those kind of things that you need, cocoa. You know, for example, buying cocoa at one of the Amish grocery stores when we're traveling up in Pennsylvania or Ohio is drastically cheaper than buying cocoa in the little tiny Hershey's tubs at the grocery store.
You know, another thing we found useful is Asian supermarkets. Asian markets often have a lot of those spices, especially those really savory spices and seasonings. You can buy them so much cheaper than you can at the grocery store prices.
So we
shop in the foreign grocery stores locally too.
Oh, well, just something like cloves. We use a lot of cloves in our Christmas tea that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And cloves are like $4 or $5 for a little few two or three tablespoons in a glass jar at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can buy them by the pint for $3 at the Asian market. And so, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit may help you there.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that has helped is to think about what I'm cooking together.
So that you can use different racks in the stove, in the oven at the same time, maybe?
It's a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
We have a couple of recipes that take a long time to cook. Like, we make this incredible fruitcake. Now, don't turn it off.
No. Okay. No, listen, this may change your heart.
Honestly.
Regarding fruitcake. You will repent of your attitude toward fruitcake.
Because I am a fruitcake hater. And yet, we've got one of our people working here in our store helping pack orders for Christmas and getting those ready. And she's waving and agreeing with us. Our fruitcake is different from anything you've ever had before. It's like a super dense lemon pound cake. It's really good. Anyway, fruitcake takes a long time to cook. So I can't bake cookies that need to bake at the same time because it cooks at a low temperature for a long time.
Yeah.
So what I do is we have several cookies we make that need to chill in the refrigerator overnight. And so I can make those on the day that I'm baking the fruitcakes because we just need to make the dough for those. And so we'll make 3 or 4 of those that need to sit in the refrigerator overnight on the day that we're baking fruitcakes.
That makes sense.
And so that makes it really efficient. Another thing to think about is what is going to go well in the oven together. Because some things have a very strong smell. Like, you don't want to cook your sugar cookies at the same time you cook your sausage balls. Nobody wants sugar cookies that taste like sausage.
I'm trying to conceptualize that.
That would be sickening. Yuck, 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 yuck. Okay.
Okay.
So instead...
Yeah, the guy is thinking, meat cookies. I like
No. That would not be good. Okay, trust me.
Okay.
Instead, I make sausage balls and cheese straws the same day.
Because they're both savory.
They have compatible smells and odors. And they also use a lot of the same ingredients. And so now the really cool thing about it is something we're going to talk about more in the second half of the program. But those two things go together in a really neat way because they're made the same way. It's like you mix this up this stiff, dry batter, and then you form it with your hands into balls.
Mm-hmm.
But sausage balls need to be made by kids old enough to know not to stick their hands in their mouths. Because I don't want raw pork in my kids' mouths.
Okay.
But the little kids can make cheese straws because they can stuff that in their mouths all they want to and it's not going to hurt them. Because this just got like butter and cheese and flour.
Yeah, and that's something maybe too to mention here. I know for a lot of folks, cheese straws are long, thin, rectangular things. That they used, I remember they used to use cookie shooters to do that. And I guess some people probably still do, but we actually make like little balls.
Yeah.
Of the same kind of batter, but we form them differently.
Some people call them cheese pennies.
Okay.
But yeah, we just form them in the little balls and they make little flat cookies. Mm-hmm. But little tiny kids can make those. 2 and 3 year olds can do that if you measure out the ingredients. They love to get in there with their hands and mush around with them.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if you're worried about them getting too dirty and it's too hard to clean up, there's some easy ways you can take care of that too.
Okay.
One way is to go to the dollar store and buy several of those $1 plastic tablecloths. They're huge. And lay those out on the floor. Mm-hmm. Drape your table in them,
okay.
And then get your kids mixing up the stuff. And when you're done, you just roll it all up and put it in the trash.
That'll work.
And because, you know, it's really important, I think, to get your kids involved in the baking. This was hard for me. I'm a control freak, Hal.
I think it's hard for a lot of moms. A lot of moms who really like to cook and are really proud of their kitchen, I think, sometimes are protective of that area.
Well, I am, and I want them to turn out. I want everything to turn out perfect, especially since these are things we really love, and we only have them once a year. And the Lord kind of taught me a lesson about this, because I had a couple of Christmases where I was on bed rest during the holidays,
and you couldn't stand up and squeeze dough, and
I couldn't
lift pans and things,
and so I was forced to lay there and talk my children through doing it. And you know what was brilliant about it?
They learned how to do it.
And they did great. You know, and maybe a few of them weren't as pretty as mine would have been. We just ate those. We didn't put them on the feasting table. We just ate them. You know.
Well, one of our rules is it doesn't have to be pretty to taste good.
But I want it pretty anyway.
Well, yeah.
But it's been amazing to me that as I have let my children be involved, that really most of the kids make things as beautiful, if not more beautifully, than I would.
That's a surprising thing. I was just thinking about what we had for lunch. We had a kind of a Welsh rarebit, but one of our teenagers just kind of thought it up as he went along and substituted things that we didn't have ingredients for and did a great job. It was delicious, outstanding. And you just think, you know, this is somebody, it's a boy in high school. It's not like this is a college student or somebody that's going to a cooking class. This is just an average member of the family who has learned to do some things in the kitchen.
Well, experience is a lot of cooking. And I think people are so afraid that their kids are going to make mistakes that they don't give them the experience that they need. And any child who's 8 or 9 years old should be able to cook Christmas cookies. And I don't mean the kind you just whack them off the log that you got at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But I mean mixing them from scratch and baking them. It's not that hard. And we make some pretty complex things. Like, you know, we make a braided bread with a homemade cranberry filling in it. And it's a cranberry braid and it's braided on the top.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous about letting that go. But you know what? Our 15-year-old son makes them. He's been making them for years, for probably 4 or 5 years. He makes them wonderfully, does a gorgeous job. Kids can do way more than we think if we let them try. But you got to let them try. And so when they're little, you get them in there with you. If you don't want to scrub them off, you know, you can buy like 100 vinyl gloves in the first aid section at Walmart for like, what, $4?
Yeah, and if you've got latex sensitivity, they've got them there in the first aid section, the nitrile gloves. You know, the vinyl is not latex. And so.
Yeah, and they're perfectly safe. And you can put those gloves on your kids, and then they just pull them off and put them in the trash. They're all cleaned up.
How about cotton gloves? You could wash those.
Yeah, but I don't want anything else to wash.
That's a bad idea. I'm joking. Don't do that. Okay. Don't make cookies with cotton gloves. Okay.
What I do is get a bunch of dad's t-shirts and put all the little kids in t-shirts so they don't mess up their clothes.
Okay.
You know, I mean, make it as easy to clean up as possible. Make it a mom-sized job.
All right.
But welcome your kids in. And it's amazing what they can do. And we have so much fun doing this every year. This is a big thing for our family. And just thinking it through makes it so much easier. So ways to welcome the kids in. The pairing things that the kids can do with things the younger kids can do with things the older kids can do is a help. So like the sausage balls and cheese straws, the little kids can mix up the cheese straws. The big kids can do the sausage balls.
And they're all pretty similar.
They're very similar.
They're not going to be jealous of what one or the other is doing.
Some other easy ones to do with your little kids are like orange juice balls. Because again, that's
great.
Just mixing up this mud kind of stuff and forming it in little balls and rolling it in coconut. Easy as pie.
Do we even bake those?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, they don't even bake.
Yeah.
And so that's an easy thing for kids to do. And they're delicious, too. They're really good. People always have a fit about them when we have them over.
Mm-hmm.
And so get your little kids doing things little kids can do. Get the big kids doing big kids. Obviously, it's going to take a big kid to make something like a cranberry braid. You know, where you're mixing a bread dough when you're braiding it. That's going to take a big kid. But a little kid can spread the cranberry stuff down the middle.
And put the egg white on the top.
Right.
Yeah. So there's things they can do. Even on the complex task.
Well, and like I or one of the older kids will cut out the sugar cookies, but the little kids love to put the sugar on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so get all your kids wrapped up and working with you, which really makes it go so much faster because we have to make big batches. We have a big family. And that makes it go real, a lot faster. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of the recipes we've mentioned, in fact, I think everyone we've mentioned so far, and our Christmas baking spreadsheet and an ingredient list, so you can go straight to the store and buy it, is in our book, Christ-Centered Christmas.
Christ-Centered Christmas is an e-book, and do we have a print edition available yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
But they can go out soon to raisingworldmen.com/shop. Mm-hmm. And can click on holiday books, and you'll find it there. You can download it, start using it immediately. And it walks you through all this, how to do this, how to present a wonderful celebration. One of the things we use our Christmas baking for, two things, is our caroling parties. And we did a podcast about that a few weeks ago. You may want to look up.
Yep, reaching your neighborhood through caroling. Yes.
Another thing is our Christmas Eve celebration. Mm-hmm. Because on Christmas Eve, we bring out all the silver and china and things that we were given as wedding presents that you don't ever use. And we put together what is basically a fancy reception. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's just for our family. Sometimes we invite other people.
Right.
But it's elegant and it's beautiful. We put out all our Christmas baking and also do like hors d'oeuvres. And
like a meat tray or a cheese tray.
And little like party that. Breads. Mm-hmm. Ham Delights, which is a little tiny ham sandwiches, are incredibly delicious.
Yeah.
Hot with poppy seeds and stuff on them.
Yeah. And maybe word of explanation for some of the listeners, you know, the custom in both of our families growing up was that Christmas Day was when we opened all the packages.
Right.
So all the packages under the tree routine was on the morning of the 25th. Christmas Eve was a little quieter time. We never really had much of a party like that growing up in our home.
But
you did, and we thought, when I heard about this, I thought, that sounds like fun. And so we've always done it, I think, since we've been married.
So we have a Christmas Eve party. We sing the carols. We read the Christmas story. We eat wonderful, delicious foods. And party foods is all we have. And I try not to notice how much the kids are eating.
Nope, that's kind of the rules. You eat whatever you want, kids. That's fine. We're here to celebrate. And that's an important principle. You know what? You're not going to kill the world by having a single night or even a weekend full of feasting and jollity and celebration. You know, it's okay. Unless you've got some sort of dire medical condition, it's okay to go off the diet for a day.
Yes. Well, one of the things our little ones love about Christmas Eve is we have things like chips and dip and stuff that we don't usually have. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a stern mom. We eat pretty healthy foods. And they can eat as much as they want to. They really enjoy that. We have our Christmas tea. We have eggnog. And we pull out all that Christmas baking. You know, some of the things, I think baking seems overwhelming because we just don't do it very often.
Well, it's like our experience camping. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we have friends who go camping maybe once a year, and it's, wow, what a big production it is. But we've camped a lot just because that was an inexpensive way to travel long distances, and we got to the point where it's just routine. We know we pull in, pick out a campsite, throw up the tent, pull out the stove. I mean, it's easy to do when you do it frequently. And I think baking is the same way. It's not that hard.
And so
if you do it, if you just practice it a little bit.
So I think the way that you make Christmas baking easier and more fun is, first of all, make sure you've got everything you need before you start. You know, go and get everything on your list and make sure you've got plenty of all of your ingredients, because it's frustrating to get something two-thirds of the way made and you don't have the vanilla extract or something.
I thought we had cream. Yeah.
Yeah. Get everything you need and also look at the things you're going to use. One thing that has helped me a lot not to stress out is to buy a lot of cookie sheets. Not just have one or two, but have 6 or 8 or even 10 cookie sheets. They're really inexpensive if you buy inexpensive ones. And let me tell you something. We do a lot of baking and some incredible baking. You don't need expensive cookie sheets. What you need to do is watch the stuff you have in the oven. You know?
Well, and again, a lot of these things to make it easier to do cooking in quantity, you can go to the dollar store.
You go to
Dollar Tree and you can buy inexpensive stuff. You know, the containers, disposable bowls, whatever.
If you don't want your cookies on aluminum or something, and some people don't like using aluminum, buy some parchment paper.
Yeah.
And just put some parchment paper down on it. But make sure you've got a lot of what you need, that you've got a lot of cookie sheets, that you've got a couple of great big bowls. You know, a couple of great big bowls make all this easier. Because if you're not, if your bowl isn't full up to the top and you're having to stir really eat small to make sure things don't dump out,
it's going to take a lot longer.
It's going to take longer. It's going to be more stressful. You want to reduce your stress. Make sure you've got your measuring cups, your measuring spoons, everything laid out. Like I said, if you need to, if you got little kids, spread those the plastic on the floor. Do whatever it takes to make it easy.
And you know what? You may say to yourself, I don't have that large of a family. I don't need 5 mixing bowls all year long. Okay, fine. Get the inexpensive ones that you need for the big Christmas deal and put them in a box with the Christmas decorations when you get done. Just say, this is my Christmas baking supplies. I don't need them the rest of the year. They don't need to clutter up my kitchen if that's an issue to you.
Or go buy a plastic bucket at the dollar store for a dollar.
Yeah,
to mix your stuff
honestly.
Up in. I mean, you know, we've got so many things available to us so inexpensively these days. There's no excuse. Make sure you've got some big spoons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just make it easy. Put your kids in T-shirts. You're at home. It doesn't matter. And make some memories, because it's going to be so worth it. Because when you make those memories with your kids, you know, our children, the ones that have been like out of the country in a way when we were baking, are like, please don't eat it all before I come back. Please save me some. And our kids beg us to save them some to take back to college with them in January.
And the ones who have moved away and have lived away for a time will say, you know, I was walking through the spice aisle at the store. I was walking past a place in the mall that had diffusers running or whatever, and I smelled cloves, and immediately in my mind it was Christmas and I was at home.
Yes.
Ding. That's just part of it, you know, to say we want to have special things associated with the special times in our family, so that when our family is dispersed abroad, when we are out and have our own households and everything else, there will be those little cues to call them back to the home that they grew up in, and to the lessons that they learned from mom and dad while they were there as children.
You know, it's motivational too. We need to be doing school this week. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but we're not far enough ahead to take all this week off. I tell my children, you know, you can bake cookies when you're done with school, and suddenly school's done at 9:30 in the morning.
Hmm. You've incentivized it.
Yes.
Very good.
It really is. It's worth taking the time to engage your children and involve your children in this. You're going to make memories that they will remember, that will enrich their lives forever. You know, you remember baking things with your dad growing up.
I do. And we have recipes that we inherited from my father.
And some of our favorite recipes were your grandmother's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, were my grandmother's. You know, the memories that we have from our childhood, and we talk about. One of the things I love about baking, Hal,
yeah,
is telling our children about your daddy, because they never met your dad.
No,
I
he
only
passed
met
away
him once.
He died while I was in college, and so,
yeah,
you know, you only met him once, I think.
Yeah.
And our children have never met him except through the memories that I've been able to share and that their grandmothers shared, and these recipes are something every year there's a time that we talk about my dad.
Yeah, and we can say, you know, your Papa Young invented this sugar cookie recipe. It's the best sugar cookie recipe in the whole world. And we can talk about Papa Young and remember those things and create a family heritage and a family memory that will be passed on to our children.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I've heard people say with idea books like this, you know, that like our Christ-centered Christmas and our Christ-centered Thanksgiving and, you know, some other things and advice we get from other people, you know, some folks look at it and shake their head saying, it's too much. I can't do all that. And the answer is, no, you don't have to. You get something like this and you see there's 25 recipes and they all look good. Okay, pick one.
Pick one.
Try one. You know, if you got time, try two. If you like those, say, okay, next year we're going to make these two and let's try a new one. You know, you don't get overwhelmed. It's like walking into a buffet restaurant and saying, oh, no, I can't eat 12 different meats. Okay, well, don't eat 12 meats. Try one that you like. Try one that you haven't tried before. But, you know, don't give it up because you can't do everything all at once. And I think, you know, remember this too. Remember the Pinterest trap. You know, we see all these resources and you see the pictures and they're beautiful and your cupcakes are funny looking. And you know what? Most of the Pinterest people make lots and lots of funny looking cupcakes too, even in the same batch.
Yeah, in fact, some of my friends that do that, that are professional food bloggers, will tell you that they make 60 or 80 cupcakes to get 5 perfect ones to take a picture of.
Because nobody wants to take a picture of the funny-looking ones. They taste fine. You enjoy them as a family. But if you want to do one that's kind of this is the representative cupcake, you're going to pick the perfect one. They're not all that way, and that's okay. And so, especially when you're learning a new recipe, especially when your children are helping you out, who cares if the cookies aren't quite round or if the sugar is not even or if one side's a little more toasty than the other one? That's fine. You're not in the business of producing studio quality food.
Although I tell you what, they use these recipes, they're going to produce some delicious food.
It'll be good food.
Yeah. Chrysler Christmas is a holiday planner. Mm-hmm. It's a cookbook. It's a unit study. It's a songbook. It's everything that we use getting ready for Christmas. And so you can check it out at raisingrealmen.com/shop and just click on holiday books, and it's right there.
Well, it's like, you know, what's a cookbook? A cookbook is where you keep all of those recipes. You know, yeah, I know I have a recipe for this somewhere. Why don't I just gather them all up and I'll put them in a notebook where I can find all of them at one time and I know where they are. Yeah. Well, this is basically, it's like our Christmas notebook. This is all of our Christmas recipes, you know, looking at where are those files that we created to do the song sheets for caroling. Oh, where's that artwork I wanted to show the children? Okay, well, it's all in one book. I mean, our family uses this and we just put it together so we can share it with you. And I think you'll appreciate it, just the convenience of it. Besides, it's a beautiful book.
Well, I think we're about out of time, Hal.
Are we? It looks like we are about that way. Well, let's see now. This is not quite Christmas. We have one more episode before Christmas, and next week we're scheduled to talk about dealing with difficult people at the holiday time.
Just in time.
Nobody wants to listen to that because everybody else has perfect families and nobody else has awkward uncles or embarrassed or weird friends. Nobody else does that. But you can come and listen to how we deal with it. And maybe you have a friend. Yeah, we have a friend who has this issue.
Hey, and share if any of our family is listening, we are not talking about you.
No, we're teasing. Okay. We do have wonderful family.
Because we're going to have a difficult time if you're not careful, Hal.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're teasing. But okay. Anyway, the point being, we all need to be on our toes and being correct and polite and courteous toward one another when we're under a lot of stress and a lot of busyness, because this is a busy and sometimes stressful season. But if you follow good advice like you're sharing, Melanie, maybe you can take a little bit of the stress off and have some fun at the same time.
All right.
Well, look, until next time, we do appreciate you joining us. We're going to be back here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or you can catch us on iTunes or come to halandmelanie.com/radio, and you can pick us up on the archives.
And we love hearing that you're listening to our shows. Please head out to iTunes and review it. Head over to Facebook and tell us what you've learned or what you think or how you put some of this advice into action. Mm-hmm. And we'd just love to hear from you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being with us. Take care, y'all.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.